We had a long break, but welcome back. And I don't know if you did well or not, because several next texts are very scary and difficult. You know, so I hope that you are ready. So text number 111.
Just as God assigns to everything visible what is appropriate, so he does also to human thoughts, whether we wish it or not.
Probably you all know Michelangelo, the sculptor and artist. And there's a story about him that his friend came over and looked after months, or last visit was like months or two ago, and Michelangelo was working on a statue, and this friend came after 2 months and trying to see the progress and was not able to see the progress. So you did nothing, you know, during these 2 months, what you were doing. And Michelangelo said, well, I made this detail more, you know, precise, this expression a little bit. I took away a little bit stone off from this. And he said, his friend said, well, those are details. Nobody can see that. And he said, well, those are details. But from details, beauty and perfectness is born. And those are not small things. And the same thing we can apply for our spiritual life, that each small thing, each detail, even each our thought, as Saint Mark says, has importance and has some kind of impact on our eternal life and life on this earth too. And this is why we need to be vigilant, and we have to take care about even those things which seems like small, without significance, you know, and be careful what we are doing. And this it's difficult, because you have to be in like nonstop in some contention to be ready to make judgment over each thought and to make correct decision. But as St. Mark says, that when we are doing that, when we are trying to please God in everything, then we can count on his help and mercy in the time of our weakness or our failure. Maybe to bring more clarity to this text is my favorite saint, Isaac Syrian, but he is the best teacher. And he says, he mentions Adam and Eve, and he points out that they committed sin, but the punishment for the sin was different for Adam and was different from Eve. And this, he says the same it is like with sons of Adam and Eve, he meant us all, that this some kind of punishment, if we can, he's using this word, punishment for sins, because of sin, depends on our intention and desire for sin. For example, if a man or a person doesn't wish to follow this journey or life of sin, but he neglects something and he fails, so then this punishment will be not so painful for that person. But if somebody sees the journey, okay, this is wrong journey, this is way of sin, and the person doesn't take care and continues, so then punishment will be very strict. So Saint Isaac Syrian encourages us that, well, we have to be vigilant, you know, like in our practicing those things we know that they are in gospel, that there are rules for life, and it would be foolish to think that we can become like perfect immediately. For sure, it is our experience, and that even if we are trying, we are failing, we are trying again, and slowly we are getting more and more like masters in those good things. And if we are on this journey trying, so then God's mercy is very close to us, and His forgiveness is very close to us. This cleansing of our soul and this gift of dispassion, it means this gift which makes us free from passions, which comes from God, is coming closer and closer to our life. And this is possible only when we pay attention, not to big things, because usually we can resist to these raw temptations, hard temptations, but those details of the life, those are making difference. You can keep him here, you know. It's really hard text. So decide, you know, that to see this perspective of hard life and not easy life, it's tough. All right. 112.
If some obvious sinner who does not repent has suffered nothing before his death, you may be sure that judgment in his case will be merciless.
Yeah. This is very tough words or text. And I think that this text has power to disturb our heart. And probably it forces us to reflect over our life. Especially in our time, we have to keep these words in mind more often, because really world in this present time and this ability to remove a lot of pain from our life can force us to accept illusion that we can live totally according to our own desires. And despite of that, to expect gift of the eternal life. And actually, this is something what we have to, answer some of our questions is, well, maybe the question we probably encounter, or it came to our mind too, is that we are trying to live spiritual life according to gospel, and it is connected to so many difficulties, and even that we encounter different and difficult situations, painful situations, and we ask God, why are you doing to this? If I am trying to love you, you are trying to follow you, and you allow these things to happen in our to our lives. So, and then we see people who are really living life in sin, totally in sin, embracing very sinful ways, and it seems that they have no problem. It seems that they are blessed in every aspect of life. They have abundance of everything, and now we cannot understand that. Somehow we feel that it would be just that God would give us this good life because we are really laboring and we are trying hard to please Him in everything. But this text explains that actually this easiness of life, seemingly blessings are just sign of future very strict punishment and suffering. Because our God is good God and just God, and even those who are heading towards damnation, we cannot say that there are totally bad people. For sure they do a lot of things, good things. And if God sees their destiny, so He gives them reward here on earth. While for those who follow Him, many times He gives this award for eternal life. So it explains something in this word, but well, anyway, this is like very extreme cases, but this text is if we don't experience some kind of trials, tests, difficulties, crosses in our life, we should be afraid, because it means that something is wrong. So probably we are not walking on a path, correct path to salvation. And for sure, if we have this some kind of this experience that everything like blessed and there is no hardship in my life. So well, for sure, if I'm trying to live gospel, and I can with some kind of with freedom to talk to express, yes, this is my effort. I'm trying to live this God's word. So then I have to give thanks to God and to be thanks for this time of peace which He's giving me, maybe giving me more time to become strong, because these temptations eventually will come. There is no saint who would not face that. No Christian. Because there is no other way to heaven like through way of cross. No other way. So if I can tell that I am doing everything what I can, what is in my strength, ability, my knowledge, I'm trying to follow that, and I experience peace, be very thankful. And keep this as a preparation for future trials. All right. There is. I mentioned yesterday those two exercises which help us to live this life, and this spiritual reading and remembrance of death. Those two things have power to ignite this zeal through which we start to see clear to our life, and we are really see with clarity these areas when we need to add more effort. Okay. 1:13. We are going very fast, we have to slow down.
He who prays with understanding patiently accepts circumstances, whereas he who resents them has not yet attained pure prayer.
Very nice text, which gives us tool how to make judgment over our prayer. And we have to realize that prayer, our prayer is not something what is once given to us and it's the same. Prayer is growing as our spiritual life is growing. And we cannot have this perfect prayer, pure prayer, if we don't remove at first all passion, all the sinful passions from our heart. And Saint Evagrius, he recommended that we should pray at first for a purification of soul, to become free from forgetfulness, mm-hmm. and then we should pray for freedom from all temptations. And in this, he like follows these three steps, like purification, enlightenment, and unity, sanctification, divinization. And pure prayer is connected with the last phase of this ascent. Okay, why I'm saying that? Because this text helps us to realize where we are on this journey. That if we are able with patience to endure all these many times difficult like situations with patience, so it means that we made a progress on this in this journey in this spiritual life, because more we are like patient, more we are able to endure this, so then our prayer becomes more pure.
You know, on that, do you think that God, how do I want to put this, that to help us to be more patient, that he gives us more temptations and things to help strengthen us in our patience?
Well, yes. Look, what is patience? Patience is born from humility. You know that if there is a lack of patience, it means that humility is not present. So it means that some kind of pride is there, some kind of form of pride is in my heart. Now, we should know that, and so if I'm not patient, so then I, it's a little bit foolish to ask God, oh God, I don't want to change, but give me more patience, you know. So at first I have to go and to prepare this field, this, I mean, humility, many patients can be born from that. And if I know that, so does it answer your question?
I got lost. No, that's okay. A little bit, but it's just like as you're practicing humility and patience, it seems like sometimes God gives you more frustration to help you in your patience. That's what I meant
by
that.
Yeah. A lot of.
Yes.
They used to say, you know, if you pray for patience, be careful because God will test it immediately.
Yeah.
But God doesn't play with us like that. It's not that kind of... What happens is we see more opportunities for patience, whereas before we would not have patience. We would just give in to the frustration and things like that. The more we ask for patience, the more opportunities we see for patience, because whereas before we would have reacted.
Sure.
Now we're more patient. So it seems like, okay, it looks like God's testing us more. We're just more aware, and we're more aware of our needs for patience. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And again, it's humility. Like you said, it's humility. We realize, okay, I don't know everything. I'm not perfect. So.
There's a morning prayer in the publican book. I believe it's right after or right before the open O doors and bolt in my heart. And it says, Lord, I recognize that all is sent by you.
Mm-hmm.
And when you, yes, thank God for every grace that he's given you, but also realize that even the demons need permission first to tempt you from God. And so, and those temptations, those things of anger, irritation, those things that would test your patience, God's allowed that. And, I don't know, it reminded me of it.
So it is that submission to external circumstances while doubling down on God's principles strengthens our faith?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, the problem with this patience is that that I feel that I lost my patience. So this is a sign when I should stop and to investigate my heart. And I have to ask why. You know, because sometimes it's easy to, that God allows things to happen, or we are more sensitive to things. Those are tools which should help us to go deeper to our heart and to really name the sin. You know, name the sin. And for example, recently there was need to go to furlong for me to arrange something. I didn't want to go, but I had to. So I went, it was raining, and you know what? Somebody let all those idiots around to know that I'm going there, and they joined me. They came, they went, they were trying with me, and against me, and I was losing my patience. I knew that they are making me crazy. All these slow driving drivers, they were lining in front of me, making impossible to pass, you know, and I wanted to have this done as soon as possible, turn back. And then I started to think about that why I reacted this way? Why I reacted this way? Why did I lose this patience? And well, that day it was like exhaustion, that I was totally tired, and somehow I could arrange this, you know, but I had another plan for next day. I just wanted to be done, and and with just simple tiredness can cause this like burst of that you are not patient. So this is why we have to search, you know, because sometimes we act like this is when we, that we say we don't have patience. Maybe many times we are just tired, and then everything, even small, can ignite this fire of anger or that these moments of that we are not patient. And touching that, you know, this is may probably never thought about, never think about this, but to take proper care of body, of, okay, not pampering body, right, not making like pleasure body, not this, but to have correct rest, correct care of body, has influence on our spiritual life. The same thing if we are pampering our body, if we are making easier and we are searching for pleasures for body, has negative impact on our life. So not enough rest has. There's a story about a man in like middle age, man, he went to monastery and he was like big man, strong man, so they gave him the most heavy work to do in monastery. He is strong, he can do this. And with obedience he did that, it was no problem for him. But it was he was becoming more and more like sad, not happy, because he felt that he entered monastery and he was not growing spiritually. And another elder from another monastery came to visit, and he saw him working hard, and he asked him, "How are you doing?" And he said, "Okay, how is your prayer?" He asked. Usually these monks, they ask this question, "How is your prayer?" And he said, "Father, not good. I feel that I don't grow. I am on the ground all the time." And so this elder asked several other questions, and he left him, and he told the superior of the monastery that, "Look, you put too much on this man. Easy his yoke, because he's not here for work, he's here for salvation of his soul." So they did it. And they made it a little bit easier, his obedience, and immediately started to grow spiritually very fast. So we have to be careful. I'm not saying these things to give opportunity to abuse them and to say, "Well, I need to have like rest all time and really perfectly rest." No. We just need to give body enough of everything. It is connected with fasting too. It's not good for me to fast to that measure that my body is suffering totally, that I am not able to do my spiritual work. But I should keep body like
a well-oiled machine.
Oh yeah, but well, but not too oiled. No, you know that it is like this horse. You know, those who ride horse, you know that sometimes you have to encourage horse to walk faster. Sometimes you have to pull this. What is that?
The reins in.
Yes, to stop him. The same with body. Wisdom is necessary. So, but again, to this patience that patience is indicator that something, if I don't have patience, indicator that something is wrong inside. It can be pride. And this pride causes, if the pride is inside, so then all these things can many situations can become the source that I act with, not with patience.
But it is good to subject ourselves to challenges of our patience, yes or no?
I don't understand.
Challenge my concentration. Challenge my patience.
We don't necessarily need to put ourselves in the path of temptation. You know, I don't put myself someplace where I can get angry. I don't put myself someplace where I can lose my patience. I'm just aware of the places where I can do that. I don't deliberately put myself out there to try and test my own patience. That's me doing
okay.
It. That's not God. I'm depending on my own will then.
I see.
Oh, Craig, I stopped you.
No, it's okay. It's okay. I think you more than enough. I was just looking at it from the perspective of what I've always been taught. It always goes back to balance every single time. And praying for that purity. You can't have that without just some humility. And that's going to affect your prayer life. So your prayer life is definitely going to be gravitating more to His will and less of your will. And as that creeps in and gets stronger and stronger, you're going to be spinning your wheels a lot less. Because you're not going to have all the obstacles and the problems that you're causing because you're inflicting your own will into your prayer that, you know, it's got to be my way or you know, I'm going to go to pieces. He opens up the door and you have that patience and it just works.
Yeah.
Not that you're not going to struggle, but it works.
Sure. Okay. 114.
Okay. When harmed, insulted, or persecuted by someone, do not think of the present, but wait for the future, and you will find he has brought you much good, not only in this life, but also in the life to come.
This is a tough one. It's not easy to follow this text, but we know that it comes out from gospel. We find this message in teaching of many, this holy teacher of spiritual life. And actually, I think that it is our own experience already that when we went through suffering with some compassion, so in the end, it brought a lot of blessings for our life, and we can be sure that there will be reward in eternal life too. And even like secular world knows that there is a benefit in that. Probably you heard this a lot of these practices that, okay, if you are offended or something happens to you without justice, count to 10 at first before you react. Mm-hmm. Or similar advices how to manage this anger which probably is born in the heart. It's like natural knowledge or experience that these kind of things ignite something bad in us, anger, desire for revenge, and maybe sometimes it seems to us like defense too, that we have to defend ourselves. But well, still, these advices of Holy Fathers, they go a little bit further than these advices from the world, which found out this spiritual law in some way, they recommend or they tell us that we should accept these situations with humility, because through these situations God leads us to know ourselves better, and he leads us to deeper repentance. Look, it's not only about not to react externally. Even what is happening internally is something what is important. And always, if we are offended, and it causes like these negative motions in our soul, this is still a sign that our heart was not purified enough. And when we read about saints, and we can see that when they came to this perfectness in their faith, if somebody offended them, they said, "You are right." And they usually, many they added, "I'm even worse than you think." And they saw this bad approach from somebody as a just punishment for maybe other sins they have committed in their lives. So yes, we should try to somehow slowly to transform our mind and heart in this way, that to start to think this way, to imitate the saints in this way, and then it will be easier for us to stay calm, and then to discover that this approach brought us a lot of good things already in this life. And for the future. And well, small story. There was like one of my friends, priest. He was very calm. Anyway, he had nickname as a difficult to translate, like I would say Iceman or something, that he was never like reacting, like it was like face. And it was difficult to provoke him, even we tried many times. And we were young priests at the time, and we didn't have any experience how to serve the bishop before. I was among first priests who were ordained by our own bishop. And at that time, bishop from Yugoslavia came for 3 days to do ordinations, which was needed once per year, and that's it. You know, you missed this opportunity, you didn't see bishop for another year, because communists didn't allow anybody to come. So we didn't have experience how to do it. And even after ordination, so you had a lot of work to do in parishes, a lot of liturgy, so again, there was no like practical experience. So it happened that he was helping, was concelebrant with another priest, and they served with bishop, and bishop was dressing himself at the altar, because it was, well, anyway, it was different. Okay. So in the end, it came that he was supposed to put like omophor on the shoulders of bishop. So he said, "Well, this way, because they had, it was very strange omophor, another story. This way." So he decided, probably it is going this way. And he put on bishop. Bishop looked at him and said, why are you doing that if you don't know how to do this? And you look at him, you are right, I really don't know. I really don't know. And he was like, this was his reaction. We should like push himself something as such, realize that that priest was right. So he turned it like back, and he turned to that priest and said, sorry. Yeah. And the priest, I really don't know how it's correct.
That was luck, yeah.
And, you know, it came to my mind when I read this before that, that really, he could really be like angry, because it happened in front of many people. There was really limited space. People were like pressed to, a lot of people, they were pressed very close to the altars. They saw what was happening. And this put this priest really to very bad like situation, you know. He was rebuked by Bishop the altar. Many people heard it, you know. And, now satisfaction came. He could, I said, well, it's great. If somebody has this gift from God that doesn't care, you know, and so it is sometimes God gives us good these features or character, which can help us. Okay, 1:15.
Mm-hmm. Just as the bitterness of absinthe helps a poor appetite, so misfortunes help a bad character. For the first benefits the physical condition, and the second leads to repentance.
This is very important text, because this text says us that Holy Fathers, they had alcohol in their cells, like absinthe. Was like attempt for a joke. Nobody get it. Okay, so let's go.
I know everyone's head.
No one, yeah. Well, this is nothing new, this one. If we try to live our life in faith, so we had already many, many opportunities to see and experience like confirmation of this wisdom, you know, and not only we can see confirmation, we could see that it was good for us. And true is that person who lives in grace and tries to live in grace, he can find a lot of reasons why those painful situations in our life are necessary. This is not my words, words of Syrian. And another thing is, which comes from this our experience, is that we are not alone in this time of suffering or trial. Because we can see that we are encouraged in the time with in many ways, and we slowly we are getting some kind of clarity why this is happening, and it brings us, despite all this suffering, it brings us inner peace. God is very close to us. It's like a child who learns to walk or skate or ski or whatever, what requires not only a lot of effort, physical effort, but it's connected with even with painful falls and, you know, it's some kind of suffering. Even parents don't like to see that, and they suffer together with child, but they know this is necessary. Without that, the child would not learn this skill without this this pain. The same thing is, as a parent, it's close to their children, so that God is in this time of trials very close to all those who all those who try to go through these trials with faith and this trust in God. Okay. Let's go to another one.
Ready? If you do not want to suffer evil, do not inflict it, since the suffering of it inevitably follows its infliction. For whatever a man sows, he will also reap.
Yeah. It seems that again, our experience confirms this this text, this wisdom. And sometimes immediately after we do something, we got hit in the same way or different way. And always when we open ourselves to evil, and evil enters in through our activity, we have to be prepared for suffering, because evil is always connected with suffering. It's impossible to think that some kind, I will say, that if I do some kind of revenge to somebody who probably made problem for me or offended me, if I do revenge, I let evil come to my heart, and this evil will attract suffering to me too. It's impossible. Evil is always connected with suffering. You should avoid that. And how it is, how we are open for these evil things. You know that, I remember that, I don't know if it was this text or another text, that I recall that when you watch a movie and there is like this good character is suffers injustice, and then he goes through many difficulties, and in the end this like he encounters with this bad character and kills the bad character. And something I just sometimes I like, how I was pleased by that, good, you know, he got him. And then, well, okay, you are encouraging, you are pleased by this evil thing too, you know. And it's so, we are so attuned to this, some kind of openness to evil action, which we many times, which we apologize, that we say, well, this is justice. And because in the name of this justice, we do the same bad things as a revenge. It's somewhere in us. And we have to realize and be aware that this inclination is present in us. And well, there is a lot of advices, you know, how to conquer that. But I think that the best exercise is to gaze very often on the Christ on the cross, to see his suffering. Suffering of this innocent Lamb of God. And to realize that He invites us to follow Him even in this way of cross. Not to answer to everything what offends us with revenge, but to somehow uproot all these evil moments from our heart. And it's quite difficult, because even if we are trying that, well, we find many, many times situations when we see that we should act, that we should not be like real lambs, you know, totally. But it's difficult to make good discernment, but this ability to discern correctly the situations is growing with our spiritual growth. But still it is difficult. All right, that's it for us for today. We went very far, very fast. Oh. But we had a long break.